Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Beyer et al. Titled, An Acute Rise in Intraluminal Pressure Shifts the Mediator of Flow-Mediated Dilation from Nitric Oxide to Hydrogen Peroxide in Human Arterioles. This article published online September 26, 2014. My guests today are Associate Editor Deborah Diz, Lead Author Andreas Beyer, and Expert Jennifer Pollack. Let's get started.
Thank you for joining us today to discuss a recent manuscript that increases our understanding of the potential endothelial-derived contributors to flow-mediated dilation, highlighting the dynamic regulation of mediators such as nitric oxide and the switch to mitochondrial-derived hydrogen peroxide in response to increases in intraluminal pressure. I would also like to offer my welcome to the participants for today's podcast, Dr. Andreas Beyer, lead author, and Dr. Jennifer Pollack, our content expert. Andreas, would you please tell us briefly about the novelty of your recent study?
Thank you, Deborah. So this study is showing that an acute stress response in the human vasculature changes the mechanism from the cardioprotective substance nitric oxide to the proatherosclerotic substance hydrogen peroxide in human microvessels after acute exposure to intraluminal pressure.
Jennifer, would you like to share your comments about the importance of this study?
Thank you very much, Deborah. The intriguing highlights of this paper would be related to the possibility of what this would mean in vivo and the relevance of this, especially related to acute stress phenomenon. And actually, I was hoping that Andreas could fill us in on how he views this as the possibility of how they could test this in quote-unquote real-life situations instead of in ex vivo situations.
The way this story got started was by a publication from Phillips et al. A number of years ago, who have shown that in trained athletes, we can invoke this stress response mechanism in isolated microvessels after acute exposure to exercise, which results in an increased intraluminal pressure. Shane did all of his studies in isolated vessels, as we have done, but we were intrigued by this idea and we wanted to see if this is a in vivo response or if this is a response to the isolated microvessels. And hence we did our study where we used ex vivo exposure to intraluminal pressure and we show the same mechanism. And the interesting fact is that we can see this ex vivo and in vivo, the same responses. And in particular, in vivo settings in people with coronary artery disease, the same stress response is invoked by onset of atherosclerosis.
Okay, thank you, Andreas. How might these observations impact strategies for future management of individuals with vascular disease?
So we hope to show with this study that acute stress response is an important concept in the human circulation. And if you lose the ability for the stress response, your vasculature is prone to further damage. So if you can use the metaphor, under normal conditions, we all have this stress response mechanism in place. So we run up a flight of stairs, we increase our heart rate, we increase our blood pressure, and our vasculature adapts and is still maintaining vasodilation, but now in a matter of H2O2 rather than nitric oxide. But if you put yourself in the shoes of someone who has coronary artery disease, which David Gutterman has published previously, that under these circumstances, H2O2 is already the vasodilator mechanism. Now you run up that flight of stairs and no compensatory mechanism is in place anymore, and you lose vasodilation, resulting in tissue ischemia and eventually a cardiac event.
Thank you, Andreas. Jennifer, do you have other comments or questions for Andreas?
So, Andreas, if you could further speculate on the possibilities of what is mediating this switch, if you will, to the H2O2, do you believe that there's some novel mechanism yet unproven, or do you think it's through other mechanisms we already know about?
I think there's a number of mechanisms going on in there. We recently published a paper with Fried as the first author showing that ceramide, which is the finger lipid, can be a signaling mechanism invoking the switch. And we have some other published works that regulators of mitochondrial ROS are of critical importance there. And we're presently drilling down on which these are. So the renin-angiotensin system seems to be playing a key role in this. Novel mechanisms of telomerase signaling regulating mitochondrial ROS production and NO bioavailability are another component of this. And there's probably a large number of ways to compensate for stress because the human animal is a complicated model system to study.
So Dr. Beyer, what do you think your follow-up studies are going to be focused on?
Thank you for that question. As you mentioned earlier, we're looking at the underlying mechanisms that might regulate the switch, and those studies are well on the way. But we're also trying to find out what other clinical phenotypes may complicate the switch. One can imagine that in subjects who already have systemic hypertension and may or may not be medicated, how will this invoke their stress response mechanism and how will it contribute to this? As we've shown in the paper here, in normal subjects, we have a slight loss of vasodilation even after onset of the switch. We are wondering currently if there is a preconditioning effect in people with hypertension that may prevent onset of this loss in overall vasodilator capacity. And other cardiovascular risk factors such as age, smoking, diabetes seem to be playing a role in all of this too. So there's a number of studies we're working on and hopefully can follow up with that soon.
So Andreas, can you elaborate a bit on the mechanisms related to the mitochondria that you think are playing a role in the loss of the flow-mediated dilation?
As we all know, under normal circumstances, the mitochondria produce energy in form of ATP, and this is a key factor in vasodilating and vasoconstriction. But as we have shown in this manuscript, the mitochondria now produce significant increased amounts of mitochondrial ROS as we measured H2O2, which in turn should result in a loss of mitochondrial ATP production, which can have long-term consequences. And we're working on current studies where we're looking at the direct mitochondrial health in the vasculature, such as mitochondrial fragmentation, fission and fusion, and the ability to actually produce ATP. But as you can imagine, in the vasculature, those studies are rather challenging because of the small amounts of samples.
Thank you both for participating in this podcast highlighting these new findings in vascular biology. We congratulate Dr. Beyer on this study that has direct applications to human physiology, and we eagerly await further elucidation of the impact of this mechanism on overall vascular health.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.